The temperature in the great night had fallen another 10 degrees, and when Mac looked up, his headlamp beam was swallowed by the void. There was nothing between him and the 4 trillion stars except the unending waves of dark chill dropping steadily onto the mountain meadow. The headlight lit the trail perfectly in a 3-foot oval, and he stepped carefully up the path and across the stepping stones in Cold Creek. He went up the hill into the forest again, and he wanted to see Vonnie coming down or find her sitting on a log taking a break. Every stride matches hers coming down, he thought. We'll meet very soon. He thought about whether she might already be below, starting her car, wheeling around for the drive down. He didn't think so, but if she were, he was making a long walk in the dark for nothing. No, she would have stopped and seen Clay. It took him 2 hours to reach the summit rim and descend into the high mountain valley. Badgers were working darkness all along the way. They'd look at the light and waddle into the rocks. He turned his light off in the willow meadow and could almost see the trail. It was open there, but when he entered the forest, he had to turn it on. "Hi, Vonnie," he said aloud, walking and talking. "Just where have you been?" "Well, hello, Vonnie. It's dark and Clay's got the soup on." "Vonnie, that I was impossible to live with does not alter the fact that I love you and would like to try again." "No, I mean, Vonnie, I'm happy you found a responsible and resourceful partner, and I hope he is kind to you for the rest of your days. Me, I'm just a broken townie. No, I know I burned my bridges, but didn't you know I'd swim back across?" Then he was up and over the little hill that led down to the Wind River. He could hear it in the night. He didn't want to run into the moose now, but he never got the chance. Suddenly there were a lot of tracks on the trail, a parade of big feet. He backtracked them to the little trail's turning. He hadn't seen this tiny trail the day they'd gone in. And then he saw her rod, at least the tip of it. There on the trail was the broken foot-long end piece of her precious bamboo fly rod. She had broken it off right here and stepped on it. He squatted and turned off his lamp. "Hi, Vonnie. Where are you? Who are you with?" In his concentration, he imagined the picture of her held or struggling with Canby and his sidekick. He wanted now to run, to yell, and so he sat still. He took off the headlamp and held it in his hands as he followed the little trail out along the mountainside toward the poacher's camp. He didn't want it on his head anymore. This way, when they shot, it wouldn't be between his eyes. There was no hurry now, and he tried not to hurry. The trail was printed heavily with boots and hardened in the few hours since they'd been created. He followed it up the landslide and stopped, breathing quietly, and then he decided to climb over for the prospect. If they had a fire, he could see it from on top. He turned off the lamp and started, but as soon as he crawled onto the rocks, he dislodged one, and it rolled, and then another moved, and there was no way to get over this without a big fanfare. They'd think a car was coming. He slid down and stood. Was he panicked? He checked his watch. 5 minutes after midnight. He sat down and turned on the lamp and checked his hands. Muddy, but okay. He wasn't nicked up. He wasn't panicked. His heart now was in his jawbone, but he wasn't panicked. Too much. Okay, then. He resumed the path and walked down around the rock spill and the crazy trees, light off, carefully. On the other side, he could see nothing. It was dark in the woods, and where he could see through to the mountain, it was darker. 200 yards, and he got on his hands and knees and felt the boot print still. He was close. He could hear nothing except the omnipresent air as the earth turned and the throbbing felt concussion of his heart. He was goddamn close. He was too close, and he sat down and thought, tried to think.